Please turn again to Joshua chapter 2. As you're turning up Joshua chapter 2, let me just read you a text of scripture in Joshua chapter 6, verse 25. It says this, "And Joshua saved Rahab the harlot alive." Now, we're going to come to chapter 6, obviously, in the course of these studies. But I believe that we should read that little text of scripture in chapter 6, verse 25, when we come to think of the events that we read in chapter 2. "And Joshua saved Rahab the harlot alive." With chapter 2 open before us, let's bow in a wee word of prayer. Father in heaven, we thank thee for the grace of God. We thank thee for thy mercy. Indeed, Lord, we can say like the psalmist, "The mercy of the Lord endureth forever." We thank thee, Lord, for that day and many of our lives when you saved us by your grace. We thank thee, Lord, that we're in the family of God. We're heaven bound. We'll never be in hell. Our sins are forgiven. We have peace in our hearts. The peace of God that passeth all understanding. And O God, as we come before thee today, we come and we lift up our hearts to thee for ever loving us with an everlasting love. We pray for those here, Lord, who are still strangers to grace and to God. We pray, Lord, that you would reach down and pluck them as brands from the burning and save them. Lord, we need thee, Lord, to work in their hearts. For salvation is of the Lord. No words of a preacher, no matter how eloquent, no words of a preacher will ever save the souls of men. O God, how we need the power of God in our midst. And Lord, we freely confess that. We need thee, Lord, to work. And we pray, Lord, that you will work for your glory and your great name's sake. We pray, Lord, that you'll fill us afresh with the Spirit of God. And O God, that this day, that there'll be new names written down in the Lamb's Book of Life. For us in Jesus' precious name we ask it. Amen. The Bible states clearly, "For by grace are ye saved." And nowhere in the whole of the Bible will you see the saving grace of God more demonstrated than in this story of Rahab, the harlot, that is set before us in Joshua chapter 2. Here in the book of Joshua, the God of heaven reaches down and shows his abundant mercy, lifting a vile sinner from the dunghill of immorality and bringing that vile sinner into the family and into the fold of God. The conversion of Rahab the harlot must be one of the most remarkable conversions in the Bible. And there are many remarkable conversions in the Word of God. But here we can see in this portion of Scripture the wonderful grace of God in reaching down and saving this poor, vile, ungodly wretch. One minute she's living in sin with the judgment of God about to fall upon her in the city of Jericho. But the next minute she is found delivered from that judgment, living with the redeemed people of God. In this portion of Scripture, we can see the great transformation which takes place in the life of an ungodly woman. And although Rahab's ungodliness must be mentioned and highlighted, and certainly we're going to mention it and highlight it this afternoon, it is plain to see, however, from this story that she became one of the godliest saints in Israel. And if you know anything about the life of Rahab among the children of Israel, you will know that to be the case. Because although she started off bad, and although she started off as a harlot, the Lord reached down and saved her and plucked her as a brand from the burning, and she became a saint of God. And as I have said, she became one of the godliest women in Israel. My friend, I don't care who you are today, how sinful you may be, The grace of God can reach down and save your precious soul. Whether you're walking down the clean side of the broad road or the dirty side of the broad road, it makes no difference. As we're going to find out just in a moment, we're all sinners. But no matter how sinful you are, thank God, the grace of God can save you and redeem you today. The hymn writer penned it well when he wrote those words, "The vilest offender who truly believes that moment to Jesus, a cleansing receives." And certainly, it's my prayer today, if you're found in this house without Christ as your Savior, that the Lord will speak to your heart and reveal to you your need of Jesus Christ. But not only reveal to you your need, but I pray that the grace of God would reach down and save your precious soul this afternoon. For my friend, if your soul is not saved, it needs to be saved. And it needs to be saved today, this very Lord's day. And the Lord has brought you, I believe, into his house today to hear the word of God, to hear words whereby you can and must be saved. Very simply, as we come to deal with this chapter, I want to look for a few moments at Rahab the harlot. And I pray that the Lord will write his word upon your heart and that the Lord will awaken your conscience. My friend, does your conscience ever be awakened? The preacher can't awaken your conscience. And your Christian family cannot awaken your conscience. Only the Lord can do that. And my prayer today is that God the Holy Spirit would speak to your heart again. Because if the Lord doesn't speak to your heart, you'll never be saved. You'll never be born again of the Spirit of God. And my friend, if you can come into God's house and go out of God's house and your conscience never be stirred, you're in a serious situation and you need to start worrying about that. And my fear is that people will come to Bethel week in and week out, go out unchanged and end up in hell forever and forever. My friend, you need to realize that you need to be saved like Rahab the harlot. And thank God she was saved. Of that there is no doubt. And what a change came about in her life when the Lord plucked her as a brand from the burning. First of all, I want you to notice Rahab's ungodly practice. The Bible over and over again describes Rahab as a harlot. Look at verse 1 of Joshua chapter 2. "And Joshua the son of Nun sent out of Shittim to men to spy secretly, saying, 'Go view the land, even Jericho.' When they went and came into an harlot's house named Rahab and lodged there." That verse in chapter 6, verse 25. Again, we see Rahab described as the harlot. In Hebrews chapter 11, verse 31 in the New Testament, again, when Rahab is mentioned, she's described as a harlot. In James chapter 2, verse 25, also in the New Testament, when Rahab is spoken of, she is described as the harlot. There's no doubt that Rahab was a woman of disrepute, a woman of the street, a woman who was immoral. You know, men and women, the Bible describes us as we are. Of that there is no doubt. And when you study the lives of these different characters in the Bible, not only Rahab, but others, the Bible just tells the story as it is. And of course, the truth is that we're all sinners by nature, and we are all sinners by practice. Don't think that you and I are any better than Rahab, because we're not. Now, you may not be a harlot, you may not have committed adultery, you may not have committed sodomy, you may not have committed murder, you may not have committed some of the vile sins that the Bible declares are vile, but nevertheless, the Bible tells us very clearly that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. This woman, before she was a harlot, was a sinner, because she was born in sin. And shapen in iniquity, she was born with a sinful nature. And that sinful nature led her into deeper sin. And of course, that's what our old sinful nature will do lead us deeper into sin. The Bible describes each and every one of us, Isaiah 53 verse 6, all we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned every one to his own way. And in Psalm 53 verse 3 it says, every one of them has gone back. They are all together become filthy. There is none that doeth good, no, not one. And in Isaiah 64 verse 6 it says, but we are all as an unclean thing, and all our righteousnesses are as filthy rags, and we all do fade as a leaf. You can see there how the Bible puts all of us under sin. And of course that's the truth, because of Adam's transgression. We are all sinners. Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. Therefore, when we come to consider Ahab's ungodly practice, and how that she was the harlot, how that she was the sinner, we have a picture of ourselves. We have a picture of everyone that's born into this world. And my friend, you've got to see yourself as the sinner. That's the hardest thing for anyone to come face to face with, recognizing that they're the sinner before God. And sometimes we throw the cloak of respectability around ourselves. The old sinner will do that. Goes to church and he's not as bad as his neighbor, and he wouldn't do what his friends do. So how could he be a sinner? Yet the Bible tells us that there's no difference in any of us. And my friend, God wants you to see yourself as the sinner, because you'll never be saved until you do. You'll never be saved until you do. Notice with me where Rahab lived. It's interesting when you study Joshua chapter 2, and I'm sure that you've noticed this before. But look what it says there in verse 15. The latter part of the verse says, for her house was upon the town wall, and she dwelt upon the wall. Rahab lived upon the wall of Jericho. In other words, she lived in the place of judgment. Because when God destroyed Jericho, and we're going to see this in a few weeks' time, when God destroyed Jericho, it was the walls that were going to fall first. Indeed, just turn over to Joshua chapter 6 for a moment, and take a look with me there at verse 5. The latter part of the verse again. Look what it says. And the wall of the city shall fall down flat. When Joshua was instructing the blowers of the trumpet, he told them that once they would blow the trumpet for the final time, that the walls of the city would fall down flat. Rahab had lived on that wall for many years, but it was a condemned place. She was living in the place of judgment. She was living in the place of condemnation, because not only was the wall a condemned place, but of course Jericho was a condemned place as well, because God was going to destroy it. God was going to wipe it off the face of the map very, very soon. My friend, if you're living in your sin today, you're living in the place of judgment. You're living in the place of judgment. Did you know that? There's a wonderful text of scripture over in John's Gospel, chapter 3 and verse 18. Listen to these words. He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not, in other words, you're not saved, not born again of the Spirit of God. He that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. That text of Scripture teaches that the sinner without Christ is a condemned soul. And there's a text of Scripture even more clearly in Romans chapter 5 verse 18. It brings out this point even more clearly. It says this, therefore, as by the offense of one judgment came upon all men to condemnation. Judgment came upon all men to condemnation. Oh, I wonder, as you're gathered in God's house today, my friend, do you realize, do you recognize
that you're in the place of judgment.
You're in the place of condemnation. And if God was to take the breath from your body right now, you'd be plunged into hell. Does that thought ever bother you? As you go about the farm, as you go about your daily business, when you're waking up on a Monday morning, go about your daily task, do you ever think that if I was to take my last breath today, that I would be in hell? My friend, that's the truth of the matter. That's the fact of the matter. Rahab was living in the place of judgment. And only for the mercy of God, she would have been destroyed with the rest of the occupants of Jericho. And we're going to see just in a moment why she wasn't destroyed. But she was living in the condemned city. My friend, you're living in a condemned body. You're living in a condemned body. And if you were to take your last breath, if you were to go out tomorrow, get knocked down by a car, and your life would be taken. Have an accident, your life be taken. Just drop dead from a heart attack, your life taken. You'd be plunged out into a lost eternity. Does that ever bother you? Well, it would bother me. It certainly would bother me. And yet, the sad thing is that men and women can come and listen to the gospel and hear the word of God, and it runs off them like water off a duck's back. Oh, what a sad, sad state of affairs sinners are in, and they don't even see it. Oh, I pray that God will take his word and write his word upon your heart. The soul that sinneth, it shall die. Of that there is no doubt. That's what the word of God clearly teaches. And that's the truth. The truth that is brought here from this story in Joshua chapter 2 when you consider Rahab and her ungodly practice. The ungodly woman she was in danger of losing not only her life, but she was in danger of losing her soul. My friend, you're in danger of losing your soul. And Jesus said, what shall it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Don't lose your soul. Don't lose your soul because of some sin that you want to hold on to. Don't lose your soul because of some companion. Don't lose your soul because of something that you want to continue to indulge in. But notice something else here. Take a look at Joshua chapter 2 again, and you'll notice Rahab's only way of salvation. If Rahab was ever going to be saved from the judgment that was going to fall upon Jericho, something had to be done. Something had to be done. If Rahab was going to escape the judgment of God, which was going to fall upon this city, she had only one way of escape, one way of salvation. She had to follow the instructions of the two spies. Look what it says in verse 18 of Joshua chapter 2, and read them carefully, especially if you're not saved in the meeting. Behold, when we come into the land, thou shalt bind this line of scarlet thread in the window which thou didst let us down by, and thou shalt bring thy father and thy mother and thy brethren and all thy father's household home unto thee. There was the instruction that the two spies, the two men of God, give to Rahab. They said, listen, if you want to escape the judgment that's going to fall upon the city, then take this scarlet thread and tie it to the window. Now you'll notice that Rahab followed the instructions. And she followed the instructions immediately. Look what it says in verse 21 after the spies had gone. It says at the end of verse 21, and she bound the scarlet line in the window. Immediately. The two spies had gone. She took this scarlet thread and she tied it to the window. Why did Rahab follow these instructions? Why did she follow the instructions? Well, let me give you a number of reasons why she followed the instructions. First of all, because she feared the God of Israel. Look what it says, and look what she said there in verse 9 of chapter 2. And she said unto the man, I know that the Lord hath given you the land, and that your terror is fallen upon us, and that all the inhabitants of the land faint because of you. For we have heard how the Lord dried up the water of the Red Sea for you when ye came out of Egypt, and what ye did unto the two kings of the Amorites. Look at verse 11. And as soon as we had heard these things, our hearts did melt, neither did there remain any more courage in any man because of you. For the Lord your God, he is God in heaven above and in earth beneath. Not only did she fear the God of Israel, but she believed in the God of Israel. She knew that only the God of Israel could save her and deliver her. She believed that she was in danger, and she knew that she needed the mercy of God and the mercy of Israel. That's why she followed the instructions. That's why she took the scarlet thread and tied it to the window, because she believed. She believed that if she did that, that God would spare her. Here we can see Rahab's great faith. Rahab put her faith in the promise of the two spies, but not only in the promise of the two spies, but in the promise of God. They were revealing unto her the word of God and the will of God. Over there in Hebrews chapter 11, we read these words in verse 31 of Hebrews chapter 11. By faith the harlot Rahab perished not with them that believed not, when she had received the spies with peace. She believed the promise. She believed the promise. My friend, if you want to be saved, if you want to have your sins forgiven, then you've got to believe the promise. You've got to believe the promise. You know, many people believe that they're saved by making promises. I remember hearing the story, maybe I told it to you, recently even, about a preacher, and he went in to preach in the prisons. And as he preached, at the end of his message, one of the prisoners indicated that they wanted to get saved. And the prisoner came forward and knelt down, and the preacher said to the prisoner, well, now you pray and ask the Lord to save you, and the Lord will do that. Call upon the Lord. And he started to pray. And he started to pray, well, Lord, I promise you that I'll not be evil anymore. I promise you I'll not be wicked anymore. I promise you that I'll not drink anymore. I promise you that I'll not beat my wife anymore. I promise. And the preacher stopped him and says, listen, you've got it all wrong. We're not saved by making God promises. We're saved by trusting in the promises that he has made. My friend, there's people, and they'll not get saved because they think they have to do a lot of things. Well, I couldn't stop this, and I couldn't stop that, and I couldn't stop the other. Of course you couldn't. You're not saved because of what you can do. You're saved because of what Christ has done. You're saved because of what he has accomplished. You're saved because of the promises that God has made to you and me. That's the reason I'm going to heaven, because the Lord has promised me everlasting life. If I trust in him, if I believe on him, if I turn to him and call upon him for salvation. Oh, I wonder, have you ever put your faith and trust in the promises of God? Sinner, have you ever followed the instruction of God's precious, precious word? Listen to these wonderful promises over there. In John chapter 5 and verse 24, Jesus said, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life. That's the promise of God. And what a wonderful promise it is. In chapter 11, the Lord Jesus Christ gives another wonderful promise in verse 25 of John chapter 11. Jesus said unto her, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth on me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. Listen to another wonderful promise found in Romans chapter 10 and verse 9. We read these words, If thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Those are the promises of God. That's what I'm depending upon to get into heaven. Not depending upon my good works. I'm not depending upon something that I have done. I'm depending upon what he has done and what he has promised. And thank God, what has God done? God has sent his only begotten Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, to die on the cross, shed his precious blood for my sins and your sins. Thank God he has paid the price of our redemption. He has finished the work of redemption upon the middle tree on Golgotha's brow. And he has promised all who believe in him, all who believe on the Lord Jesus Christ shall be saved. And I'm trusting in that. I'm trusting in the Lord Jesus. I'm trusting in his finished work. That's my scarlet thread. My friend, what's your scarlet thread? What are you trusting in? The sad reality today in Ulster and across Ireland and across this United Kingdom is that many are trusting in their own good works to get them into heaven. And churches are full to the brim today. And they're leaving God's house trusting in what they have done. Trusting in the sacraments. Trusting in their baptism. Trusting in their mass. Trusting in everything apart from what they ought to be trusting in. Oh, Rahab. Her only path of salvation was to put the scarlet thread out. And of course that speaks to us of the blood. But she believed the promise. Oh sinner, you've got to believe the promise. You've got to trust the Lord. Will you trust him today? And he'll save you. He'll redeem you. And he'll redeem you for all eternity. Now there's something else I want you to notice here. Before we finish, and time's away, the clock always beats us. I want you to notice Rahab's new pilgrimage with the people of God. That text of scripture that I read out, verse 25, Joshua 6, let me read it to you again. And Joshua saved Rahab the harlot alive. What a text of scripture that is. We have already learned that the name Joshua in the Old Testament is the New Testament equivalent of Jesus. So we could read it like this. Jesus saved Rahab the harlot alive. My, isn't that a wonderful thought? When Rahab left Jericho, she left her sin behind her. And she left her old word behind her. She was not Rahab the harlot anymore. She lived with the people of God. And her life was changed forever. She became Rahab the saint of God. God gave Rahab a new home. And he gave Rahab a new hope. And Rahab received a new heart and a new happiness because she became the great-great-grandmother of King David. And we learn that in Ruth 4, verse 17. And we all know the genealogy of that royal line because out of the Davidic line came the Messiah. Matthew 1 verse 16. Now we haven't got the time to turn those verses up, but you turn them up and you look at them and you read them and you'll see that this harlot, this sinful woman became a new creature in Christ Jesus. Her life was totally transformed. And the truth is that when Joshua, the children of Israel, destroyed Jericho, that Rahab's house was not destroyed. On the wall. The wall fell down around Rahab's house. Rahab's house remained standing. And not only was Rahab delivered, but everyone that was in her house was delivered as well. Because she believed the promise and she followed the instructions. Oh, my friend, God will not break His word. God will not break His word. And child of God, you should never doubt that you're getting to heaven. You're saved and love the Lord. You're getting to heaven. You're going to heaven. God will not break His word. And although this whole world will crumble down around us, praise God, you and I will get home to glory. Of that there is no doubt, because God will keep His word. But notice how this woman's life was changed and how this woman's life was transformed. Sinner, you can have a new pilgrimage. Starting today, God wants to give you a new heart and a new home and a new hope and a new happiness. All these things are found in Christ and in Christ alone. The Bible says, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things become new. And if you come and cast yourself upon the Lord Jesus today, trusting in Him alone for your eternal redemption, I'll tell you, you'll get a new hope, a new name. Isaiah 62 verse 1 tells us about a new name. You'll get a new song. Psalm 40 verse 3 tells us about a new song. You'll get a new home. Revelation 21 verse 1 tells you about the new home you'll be going to. You'll get a new life. 1 Corinthians 5 verse 17 tells us about the new life. You'll get a new garment. Isaiah 61 verse 10 tells us about the new garment. Look those verses up when you go home and read them and see what the Lord will do for you if you come and trust Him like Rahab trusted Him. The Lord promises to give us everlasting life, eternal redemption. Isn't that wonderful? To know that we're on our way to heaven, to know that we'll never be in hell, to know that we're going home to glory soon, to see the city bright, to walk the golden streets of heaven and bask in God's own light. Jericho was destroyed, and everyone in it was destroyed. And we'll see that as we continue these studies. But Rahab and all that were in Rahab's house were saved. Her house was the only house that remained standing. Just think about it. My friend, when God protects you, no one will touch you. When God has His love around you, when God has His grace around you, no one will touch you. You're saved for all eternity. I give unto my sheep eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of mine hand. And Rahab that day, she started to walk with the Lord. She joined herself with the people of God. She left the old world behind her. And she started to live with the people of God, the children of Israel. Friend, are you not sick of the old world? Are you not sick of the old life? Are you not fed up with it? Or leave it behind today. Trust the Savior. And He'll forgive you for your sins. And He'll redeem you for all eternity. And today you can start a new pilgrimage. Remember what Abraham said. Or in fact, what it said about Abraham, it says he looked for a city whose builder and maker was God. And that's what God's people are looking for. We're looking for a building whose maker is God. We're looking for a city whose builder and maker is God. Oh, I pray today, come and receive the grace of God. And thank God you can leave this place with all your sins forgiven. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we thank Thee today for Thy mercy to us. Oh God, I pray that men will be wise, that women will be wise. And oh God, that they'll turn from their sin and seek the Lord while he may be found. We thank Thee, Lord, that there's grace for the vilest offender. We thank Thee, Lord, that Your grace has no measure. It has no boundaries. How we thank Thee for that, Lord. And, O God, if You can save such a woman in such circumstances, then You can save anyone, Lord. O God, save today. For it's in Jesus' precious name we ask it. Amen.